115, Psalm 115. God had laid the scripture on my heart, and we just read through it, and I think, man, what an awesome thought the psalmist is giving to us here, and a thought that maybe on this Independence Day weekend we might focus upon as God's people living in a country where we're free to worship, we're free to uplift the name of God in any way we want to, and I'm just going to read the first verse and just use that as a springboard, and we're kind of preach the whole chapter here, and I know it's 18 whole verses, and I still promise you, you'll be out here in time for fireworks, all right? But in verse 1, it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being back in your house for each one that's come this way. We know we're few in number tonight, Lord, but you say we're two or three gather in your name, you'd be in our midst. And Father, we ask you to stir our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us to glorify you, Father, with all that is within us and with all that we have in our being, God, that we might honor you and we might praise you and we might thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Now, Lord, have your will in your way in this service that your name might be exalted. We praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. How the psalmist says, give glory unto your name, but not unto us, but unto thy name. You know, as Americans, we get so wrapped up in bragging about America and bragging about being an American and bragging about all kinds of things and the things that God has given us. And we need to start to be a little more like what the psalmist is saying here, that God would get glory, God would get honor, God would be praised for the things that he's done. He gives us the ability to give him glory. Amen. He tells us it's a privilege for us to be able to sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of the praise of our lips unto God. It's a privilege for us to be able to serve him and to be able to work for him and to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, everything that we do should be about giving glory unto God. Amen. We get all wrapped up in our church. We get all wrapped up in the people in our church. We get all wrapped up in being Baptists and everything else. We need to get more wrapped up in Jesus, amen, and giving glory unto him, amen. That's what the psalmist says, give glory unto thy name, Lord. Give glory unto you because of your mercy. I'm thankful tonight that he's worthy of our glory in everything that we do. The apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I have nothing to brag about. Amen. Being American is a great thing. But the only thing I can brag about is that Jesus allowed me to be an American. Amen. I have nothing to brag about. He's blessed me immensely with material blessings. But the only thing I can say is I am what I am by the grace of God. And God has blessed me with all that I have and all that I can attain and all that I've ever been blessed with. In everything we do, we need to give him glory. Amen. For he's worthy of the glory of our praise. Amen. I tell you, if we'd get to the place where we'd start giving God a little more glory for things, I believe the world would take notice. Amen. Verses 2 and 3, they say, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You know what the apostle or the psalmist is saying as he's writing this? He says, you know, God, you need to give glory unto your name in everything that you do to us and through us. Amen. And the heathen shouldn't have to question, where's their God? Amen. He said, wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let me tell you, I can tell you where he's at. He's in the heavens. Amen. As I look in the world, I can see his hand upon everything that has been created, everything that is made. The Bible tells us in the Psalms that even nature itself declares the glory of God. But even more than that, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he said that we should that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Amen. That you being rooted and grounded in love, I'm able. And he goes on to tell that we can talk about how he does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wherefore should the heathen say? I tell you why. Because Christians don't allow the glory of God to show forth and to shine forth in our lives. And they say, well, why do I want to go down to that old church? It's a bunch of old, dead, dried up people. They can't do anything. Well, praise God, he's in here. Amen. And if he's in here, he should show everywhere. Amen. He should show out. When they say, where's God? They should be able to look at Steve and say, hi, he's in Steve. Amen. He's in Jim. Amen. He's a little sister. Amen. We know it because it's evident. We know it because we can see him. We know it because we've experienced it by being in their presence. I tell you what, the Bible says that spirit will bear witness to spirit. And praise God, I believe where the Spirit of God is and where liberty is, amen, it ought to show forth in our Christian lives that the world wouldn't question where God is. They'd be able to know that he's dwelling in each and every one that has claimed the name of Christ Jesus as their Savior. Amen. He says, wherefore? Why do we give occasion to the heathen to have to question where God is? Why do we give occasion to the heathen to even wonder about it? Because we are closed mouth. Because we don't stand up and we don't separate ourselves. Because we don't act any different. And they want to know where God is. God, not us, but give glory, unto your name give glory for thy mercy's sake. And wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? They ought to be able to look at us. They ought to be able to hear us, amen, and know that God is real, that he lives in our hearts, he lives in our lives, and our lives should be a testament and a witness to God's indwelling in our heart. Amen. Look, the hopelessness. We see the glory of God and the presence of God, but we see the hopelessness of godlessness in verses 4 to 8. He says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. And they that make them are likened to them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Look at what he said. Their idols are silver and gold, and they have no life. Amen. They got mouths that can't speak, eyes that can't see, noses that can't smell, ears that can't hear, feet that can't walk, hands that can't handle. They have all these things, but they have no life. And not only do they have no life, they have no power to do anything but sit there as an image. And not only do they have no life, not only do they have no power, they have no strength. They can't do anything for themselves. And not only do they have no life, no power, no strength, they have no hope. And so are those who trust in them. You have no hope outside of Jesus. Amen. Outside of God, there is no hope. Amen. Those that make these idols are religious. That's why they make the idols. Amen. But religion won't help you. Religion won't save you. God told me here the other day. He said, "I'm just not a religious, and I don't care a whole lot for religion." I said, "Me either." He looked at me. I said, "It was the religious crowd that gave my Savior all the trouble and all the problems he had." Amen. Religion can't do anything for you. The Baptists can't do anything for you. Amen. The preacher can't do anything for you. Short of telling you about Jesus. Short of telling you about the good news of the gospel. Amen. and outside of Jesus, trusting in anything besides Jesus and his atoning blood, anything besides Jesus and his eternal salvation, anything besides Jesus and his commandment. It's not water that saves us. We can't be baptized. We can't be sprinkled. We can't be doused and immersed in any way, and it saves us. Not by doing good works and doing good deeds. It save us? Can it help us? Those are religious fallacies, but religious myths, religious teachings that are leading people straight into the pits of hell. It's leaving people helplessness. But Jesus told Nicodemus, the religious man, ye must be born again in John chapter 3 and verse number 3. And John 3 and verse number 7, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. Not of works that you've done, but by the grace of God. Not because of religion, but by the grace of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without Jesus and without his eternal salvation, there's hopelessness in your life. And that's all you're left with. And that's all you'll ever help, or all you ever have, because that's all that religion, that's all that the idols, that's all the things that men clamor after have. They have no power. The power's in Jesus. Amen? The power's in God's only Son. Because he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because he was God. And he made himself of low estate and died on the old rugged cross, that he might have the power to cleanse us from our sin. That he might have the power to abolish sin forever. That he might have the power to save us from the curse of sin. The hopelessness of godlessness without the salvation of Jesus. So is everyone that trusteth in him. In verses 9 to 13, he says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Praise God. I'm thankful for the help of God. Amen. I'm in this thing, but I'm not in it alone. I'm walking this path, but I'm not walking alone. I'm in the army of the Lord, but praise God, I'm not in the army alone. I'm serving, but I'm not serving alone. Everything I need comes from him. Look at what he said in verses 9 through 11. He said, he is our shield. Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You know what I have in Jesus? I have divine, heavenly sent protection. Amen. Heavenly sent guardianship. Heavenly sent one who walks with me and talks with me and shelters me in the care of his arms and keeps me in safety in the midst of the storm. He's my shield. He's my protector. He's the one that keeps the devil at bay. He's the one that keeps me from falling into places and into things where I oughtn't to be. He's the one that directs my path to keep me in safety. Amen. Amen. He's my shield. When we was looking for places. Amen. We was looking for places. We looked at the Shallcross house on Pearl Street in Rising Sun. Mr. Shallcross operated the butcher shop and everything there in Rising Sun for ever and a day. Had a beautiful home. When it was built and it was appointed with the finest things that a moderately successful family would appoint in their house at the time. Miss Deb fell in love with it. It's an all-brick rancher. Got screened-in back porch, two-car garage, paved driveway. It's a beautiful place. But I took her up to an old rundown, wore out, fallen in, hulk of a farm. Amen, Brother Jim. He knows what I'm talking about. He's seen it. Amen. And several times she would say, you know, if we'd have just bought that house on Pearl Street, you wouldn't have had to do all this. If we'd have just bought that house on Pearl Street, it would have been so nice just to sit down and relax on the porch and just to enjoy ourselves. Well, we had some friends over the other night, and it just so happened that they had moved to Texas for a while, and while they was in Texas, they had rented their house, and they moved back from Texas. The job that he moved down there for had kind of faded away some, and it wasn't as big a need for him, so they moved back, and when they moved back, they rented the Shallcross house, and they lived there for about a year. Well, Friday night, they was over to the house. And I said, well, y'all used to live down in the Shallcross house. I keep thinking you're living in the Shallcross house, and I forget you done moved back in your house. She said, yeah. Deb said, oh, I love that house. I wanted to buy that. When he was looking at this, I wanted to buy that. She said, be glad you didn't. She said, that place is loaded with copperheads. She's terrified of snakes. She said, in the screen porch, there was drains in the floor, and she said copperheads would come up out of the drains. She said when it would rain, and there's a little creek behind the house, and it was swampy back there, and it would flood, the copperheads would come up to the house. I looked at her, and I said, isn't it amazing how God can bring you up to an old worn-out farm and keep you away from the thing that you probably fear more than anything in this world. And you didn't even know it. You wasn't even aware of it. My God's good like that. Amen. My God is good like that. My God watches over his children. My God watches over his people, and he protects them. He's their shield, and sometimes you don't even know that he's your shield. Sometimes you didn't get a job that you wanted, but praise God, he knowed you didn't need it. Amen. Sometimes you didn't get something that you was looking for and you had your heart set on, but he knew that it was going to harm you, and he knew you didn't need it, and he's protecting you. Instead of looking at the times that God refuses things that you desire and that you want, praise God for keeping you in safety and watching over you and protecting you the way that he has and the way that he does. He not only protects us and is a shield to us from the devil, but he's a shield to us from the things and all the plans. I'm glad he protects my finances. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, I've told you all before, we've been blessed. I went in the Navy. I was an E-nothing. Brother Jim and Sister Mary can tell you. Back then, we qualified for every public assistance program there was. The U.S. military enlisted personnel lived way below the poverty level. But God provided for us, and in his provision, we have always been able to meet our financial obligations. We have never been in want. We have never been without. We have never found ourselves in a place where God hasn't been sufficient for our every need, but we allowed him to guide our decisions. When we went down to buy a car, and we always bought used cars, and they're trying to push you and get you to sign it. Well, if you sign tonight, we'll give you this deal. Said, no, we got to go pray about it. The only car that we never prayed about together that we got, and it was just a needed necessity because the other one who blew up was that Lincoln. And God still blessed that because the first place that car ever went, the night we signed the papers in my kitchen, when they delivered the car and we signed the papers for ownership of that car in our kitchen, the first place that thing went that night was right to a revival meeting. And God blessed that thing. And I tell you what, he poured out his blessing on it. God has guarded us. God has watched us, but we have trusted God to do that for us. Amen. Look at what he said. He's a shield. He said, he not only said, he's a shield to Israel. He's a shield to the house of Aaron. You know what the house of Aaron represented? The priesthood. You know what the house of Aaron represents? It represented the holiness, the religious aspect. Israel was the nation. Amen. Israel was the government. But not only did he protect the government, he protected the church house. Amen. He watched over it. He kept it. And not only did he protect the government, not only did he protect the church house, but praise God, he protected all the people, great and small, no matter who they were. Amen. Any who will trust in him. Not only is he a shield, but look in verse number 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. You know what? I'm thankful tonight that I'm in God's watch care. Amen. I'm thankful that he's mindful of me. Amen. I'm thankful that he looks after me. Amen. Man, don't let too much of that junk go. Enough paper in here, enough trees killed. Amen. More than a little bit. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he knows what my needs are. I'm thankful he knows when I need help. I'm thankful he knows when I need his visit. I'm thankful he knows when I need his touch. I'm thankful that just like a parent knows their children, they know what they need before they know what they need. Amen. Moms, you watch your little ones run around. If there's something, they're sick or something, you know there's something sick. They don't have to come tell you. Amen. Because you're mindful of it. They're not as active. They're not as spry. They're not as cheery as the, you know all about them. We have a Heavenly Father that's just like that. Amen. He knows what's going on. You know something? My kids, sometimes they try to pull the wool over your eyes. Imagine that. Amen. But I was always one step ahead of them. I was always mindful of what was going on. And sometimes she would come and say, well, they said this and they said that. I said, They're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. You know how I knew that? Because I was mindful of them. Amen. He's mindful of us. He knows when we're about to sin. He knows when we're about to make a mistake and we're about to make a wrong decision. And he sends the Spirit, and through the Spirit, I shouldn't say sends the Spirit, but through the Spirit, he speaks to our hearts and he speaks to our life. That's why you feel that conviction when you're about to do something and the Holy Spirit's saying, don't do it. Amen. Amen. That's because God's mindful of you. And he knows what you're about to do. He knows what you're about to say. You ever get so mad, you get ready to say something, and something inside you say, shut up. Amen. Amen. He knows when you're about to, you know, and what's been said can't be unsaid. Amen. What's been done can't be undone. Amen. And God is mindful of us, and he keeps us in safety. He keeps us no matter what we're doing. I'm thankful that he watches over us, that he knows us, and that he keeps us. And then in verse 13, it says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. I'm glad he's a provider. Amen. He's given me everything I need. There's nothing that I need that I don't have. Amen. I've got a lot that I don't need. Amen. God's been good to me that way. But I don't need anything that I don't have. Amen. My food, my raiment, my shelter, he has provided for. He has made provisions for. And I don't have to worry about it. And then in verses 14 to 16, he says, look, not only do we have the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the hopelessness of godlessness without the Lord, we have the help of God, the help of the Lord, and we have the blessings of God. Amen. In verses 14 to 16, he says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. I'm glad that his blessings upon us, his blessings upon America have been generational. Amen. We see what he said there. He said, I'll bless you and I'll bless your children as well. Amen. You know what? Our founding fathers, most of them didn't have anything. I could take you back, just go back a generation or two. I was raised, we was poor white trash. Most people thought about, and we didn't have anything. My mom worked in a sewing factory. My dad was sick and couldn't do anything. He could barely walk across the floor, walk across the room. We didn't have anything. We were poor. I mean, we were so poor we could only afford 1-0. Amen. We were bad poor. And I don't say that in a wrong, I don't say that trying to brag or seeking sympathy. It's just the way it was. We grew up. Amen. We didn't wear new clothes. I had a brother that was about this tall and me this tall. And he was about this big and I was this big. And we only had one set of clothes between us. You know, am I lying? She can tell you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. But God blessed our family. We never went hungry, never went without. Might not have had what you wanted to eat, but there was something to eat. Amen. We started out with nothing. Some folks said, I started out with nothing and still have most of it. Amen. We got married. She had the clothes in her closet. In an old worn-out car. Looked like it had an alligator finish on it. An old black Chevy Biscayne. And the paint was all crinkled and crackled up on it. Looked like it's in now. You know, everybody wants that stuff that looks worn out and crinkled. Amen. It had been right in now, babe. We could have got a fortune for it. She had an old car. And I had the clothes on my back. And that's what we started with. And the Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us. My mom didn't have anything to give us. When we got married, my mom said, don't come ask me for anything. I don't have anything to give you. Her mom was a widow living on a pension, just barely making it. Amen. Just barely able to scrape up enough of what she could get by with it. But the Lord has blessed us and has blessed us. And has blessed us. By the way, have I told you how good God has been? He took us from nothing, and he's given us everything. Amen. He's took us what had a little, and he's blessed everything that we've touched and everything that we've done, and he's multiplied it, and we've been able to hand on and pass off to our kids more than what we ever dreamed of having. Amen. We've been blessed. Amen. How God has just touched our lives, and God has blessed us. Did I tell you? He's too good to us. Did I tell you, he's always more than enough for us. Did I tell you, you'll never want if you trust in the Lord and trust his hand upon you and look to him for the blessings that will come your way. And not only will he bless you, he'll bless your children and your children's children. I'm thankful those that trust in the Lord and those that seek his face and those that love him and depend upon him. I can bask and can just feast and can just relish in the blessings that God bestows upon them. Amen. Y'all didn't get that. We're blessed. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed. He's given us everything. He give us an earth that'll provide whatever we need if we'll get out there and seek it. Amen. And work for it and want it. He provides. Amen. I believe he can supply that need. I've just talked to too many people that had a need and money just showed up when, you know, I've talked to preachers and missionaries and different folks and that can tell you that God just knows the need before you do, and he's already had the provision coming before you knew the provision was needed and has met their needs, amen? And I believe God is able to do that, but I believe God has given us able bodies. He's given us able minds. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he didn't tell them, well, y'all just sit back here and lay back and do nothing, and I'm going to supply your every need. He put Adam and Eve, a perfect man and a a perfect woman in a perfect world in a perfect environment, and he gave them a job to do. Amen. And I think he expects us to take what he's given us. Amen. And use it. He's met our need. Amen. And he'll give us the knowledge and the understanding and the ability to see his blessings fulfilled upon us if we just trust in him. Verses 17 and 18. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence. You know, there's some that have no hope. Some that can't do anymore. We have saints of old that we've heard about. Man, I don't know if anybody here that would know. Old Miss Fox over at Franklin. Man, you go over there and she'd get happy in the service. Sister Mary knows, amen. And she always had them little dainty ladies' hankies with the purple flowers on them. She always had, and she'd get happy in the Lord. And she'd start waving that hanky, and pretty soon she'd, God was good, and she was happy in the Lord, and God was moving. But you know what? She's dead. She's gone on, and she can't praise the Lord anymore. She can't glorify his name with the sacrifice of praise anymore. It's not her place to do it. It's good to look back. It's good to think about those times when we were there with her. But now it's our day. Now it's our time. Now it's our opportunity. It's our privilege to glorify his name and to worship him. There's some that'll keep their mouth shut. There's some that have nothing to glory in. But praise God, he says, but we, who's that? The redeemed. Hey, turn back a couple of pages in your Bible into chapter 107, and it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Amen. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have an obligation. We have an obligation. Church, we have a responsibility to praise God. We have a responsibility to glorify him. We have a responsibility to honor him in all that we have and all that we are and all that we do. The problem is tonight, the psalmist started out saying, Lord, glorify thy name. Not us. Not a denomination. Not a people, not anything, but Lord, glorify thy name. And he ends telling us that we have a responsibility to bless the Lord and to praise the Lord. Amen. I want to know tonight, church, are you praising the Lord? Does your life praise the Lord? Does the life that you live give glory to God? Does the things that you do give glory to God? Is the person you are a person that honors Christ Jesus and what he's done for you? So stand to our feet tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, our altars open.